Good morning. And we do appreciate Miss Donna setting a tone of worship as we come together this morning. Hey, look around, give somebody a real smile and a wave. Say, hey, good to see you here this morning. And if you're a part of our online audience and you are viewing here today, then be sure to say hello to our very own Dr. John Cazito, who will pass your hellos along to us as well. But as always, we're glad to have you with us. Whether or not you happen to be tuned in to our online audience or whether you happen to be right here in the facility worshiping with us. So we're so glad that you're here today. Again, today, one of those special days. We're going to have an opportunity to celebrate communion together. What a great opportunity that is when we take those opportunities to share around the Lord's table. I do want to go ahead and mention something because sometimes I will tend to forget. One of the things I want to mention is that for most folks know that our brother and one of our charter members, J.C. Williams, passed away this past week, and his funeral services are set as follows. And I'm so grateful that Kim did it this way so that everybody would actually have an opportunity in some way to be able to pay their respects to J.C., but the visitation will be Tuesday evening from 6 o'clock p.m. to 8 o'clock p.m. at Hayworth Miller Funeral Home, and then the funeral service itself will be here at Central Baptist Church at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. So we just wanted to let you know that. J.C. was always a big part of the choir as long as he was able, and the choir, they have requested that the choir sing the hymn, When We All Get to Heaven. And so Brad is working on that. Now, here's another thing. For some of you all that were past choir members, future choir members, if you have a voice, if you want to make a joyful noise, Brad said that you are more than welcome to actually come and be a part of the choir this coming Wednesday when they have that opportunity to sing. Are y'all going to practice? About 1:45 before the funeral takes place, they'll actually go through that, so you don't have to worry about coming in dry. He'll get you squared away. So if the Lord so leads you to be a part of that, I know JC would love it. Be sure to you can let Brad know, or like I say, just be here early enough to meet up with the choir to be able to go through with this particular song in honor and in keeping of one of his last wishes. So at any rate, we're tickled to death to have you with us today. And again, we look forward to worshiping in spirit and truth. Also, one other thing. I don't know if anybody may have been over in the women's restroom in the gym. There is a like an electronic pack. It's like a battery pack that is missing. I'd say one of the folks from Awaken actually had set it in there, but now it's not there. So I didn't know if somebody may have mistakenly, picked that up or moved it or something. If you have, just please let me know. That way we can make sure that gets in the proper place. So everybody will be belted up, ready to sing. So at any rate, let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer as we begin this morning. Father, as we come to you today, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity that you give us to come into your house and to worship you. Lord, I pray that as we gather around your word, that each and everything that is said and done would truly magnify you. Father, I pray that as we take the time to lift up our voices to you, that it wouldn't be routine for us, that we would consider the words that are coming out of our mouths. And Lord, may they truly come from our heart rather than just from our lips as we honor you and worship you today. Lord, we pray that you will truly help us to prepare our hearts for these moments as we come together, that we truly would hear from the Holy Spirit. Now, Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit is willing and ready to speak to us today, and we ask that you would give us ears to hear what the Spirit has to say to us individually today, Lord, that we might be enhanced not only as individuals, but corporately as we walk closer with you. So, Lord, again, we ask that you would touch the hearts of those who may not know you, that today would be a day of rejoicing of all the saints in heaven over the saving of that soul. And then, Lord, we pray that for those who may be walking wayward, that you would call the prodigal home today. And then, Lord, give each and every one of us courage to act upon what the Holy Spirit teaches us today through your word and through every act of worship. As Lord, we pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning. Let me also invite you to come if you want to sing this afternoon. We're practicing at 4:45. Anytime between 4:45 and 5:30, we can run through it again as well. If you want to join us, we'd love to have that. Please stand with me as we sing 395, God of Grace and God of Glory.
Thank you.
Have you guys ever heard the expression, you have probably even used it, the good old days? I mean, y'all remember that. You know, for all of us, we can sit back, we can think, and we can remember the good old days. Today, we're going to be looking at some passages out of the book of Haggai. Now, I know what some people may be doing. Some people may be sitting back saying, I don't want my neighbor to be looking at me because that's not one of those well-known books. And I'm going to use the index. Feel free to use the index if you have to, but I can point you in the right direction. It's over there toward the end of the Old Testament. Okay, it's one of those kind of short ones that is kind of hard to catch when you're flipping through. So I'll stall and buy you a little bit of time along the way so that you have the opportunity to actually get there and be with us when we get to that point. But I was sitting there thinking about that, particularly this past week, that expression, the good old days. Well, you know, the good old days, when we talk about that or when we use that, leads to an implication that days gone by were better than the current days, doesn't it? Yeah, most of the time, it'll be something like, well, I'll tell you what, I remember when I was growing up, the little convenience store down the road, and it had one of those Coke machines, and you could put a dime in that thing, and you could get a Coke out of it, and you could get penny candy, and you remember those times, and they were just great times for you. But then what happens is, for some odd reason along the way, we make a comparison to today, and we will say, boy, those were the good old days, weren't they? Yeah, for each and every one of us, there are some moments and some times that were or are classified for you as the good old days. Yeah, maybe it was back when you were in high school and you were an athlete and you scored that game-winning touchdown or hit that game-winning home run or whatever the circumstance or the case may be. But those are things that you remember and remember them fondly to this day, and you sit back and say, these were the good old days. Now, I want us to consider that today, and I'm going to bring you back to this thought. But I'm going to lay a few things out, you know, as we get in to our text that we're going to be looking at today. I promise I haven't forgotten it, but I want to give you a little bit of background. As you know, so often Israel would get themselves a little goofy. They had been exiled. You know, when we get up to this particular point, there's about 50,000 of them that have come back to the promised land. And there's an excitement that is taking place. There is an excitement that is going on when it comes down to having this opportunity to once again be in the promised land. And the very first thing that they did when they got there was they reestablished the opportunities of sacrificing to God. Okay? That's a good thing, isn't it? Sound like a good day? Now, you got to remember where they had been in the past, in the good old days. How God had taken care of them, how good things were. Now they've been in exile. They come back and they're like, we need to, you know, we've had to get back to God so that we can be in this particular situation where we are right now. And God is being good to us. God is giving us these opportunities once again. We need to sacrifice it. So we're going to begin that. One of the first things we're going to do is begin sacrificing to God. And then, very shortly after that, they said, we need to rebuild the temple. Okay? Now, so they jump in there. Have you ever noticed that it's really easy when there is a fresh excitement? It's really easy to be about the things that we want to do. You know, all of a sudden it's like, well, we need to build the temple back. See, you got to remember, they remembered the good old days of Solomon's temple. Remember we read about that? They remembered how things were, when things were going really, really well, what it looked like. And they were good days. And they said, we're gonna make strides to be back where we need to be, to reenact the good old days. Y'all following me on that? Yeah. Don't we all do that? We long for the, there you go, you're awake with me, the coffee has kicked in. We long for the good old days. So they go out and they're like, we're going to rebuild this temple. They get the foundation laid, and lo and behold, This is an age-old thing, and every one of us have experienced this if you walk with the Lord for any amount of time whatsoever. When they began to do this, they began to rebuild the temple, resistance happened. There were people who didn't want that to take place. People didn't want that to happen. So along the way, they became discouraged in their building of the temple. Now, you can read about that over in chapter 1. Essentially, what had happened was that the construction of the temple stopped. They had gotten so discouraged that the foundation was laid. There was nothing else there. They had essentially quit. They're like, now, it's interesting that the prophet in chapter 1, we're going to be looking at some passages out of chapter 2, but in chapter 1, what happens is they start getting a little bit of holy correction through the prophet. Y'all know what I'm talking about when I say holy correction. And you know what the prophet is telling them? It says, yeah, the Lord's house or his temple is not built. It has been sitting there with just the foundation for 17 years. And that's it. Just the foundation. 17 years. You haven't hit a tap at nothing for 17 years. But your houses are built. In fact, he goes on to tell them that even some of their houses that are luxury houses, he said, you didn't have any trouble building your house, but why is it that the house of God remains incomplete? Why is it that you haven't done that? And there are 10,000 excuses. Remember the excuse thing? I still remember growing up the old song, and I've shared that with you before. Excuses, excuses, you'll hear them every day. Well, the devil, he'll supply them when at church you stay away. When people come to know the Lord, the devil always loses. So to keep them folks away from church, he offers them excuses. We've got an excuse for everything, don't we? Well, it slipped. Well, I couldn't do this, or this happened. What we try to do instead of owning up and just saying, hey, look, yeah, I'm just lazy. That's the people didn't do that. You know, they didn't have any trouble getting theirs done. And you know what? Today, I look at situations and I sit back and I can see this, and you can too, that we will go to a ball game and sit through a doubleheader baseball game for hours and just be glued to the game. But if the church service goes 5 minutes over, we start to fidget. You know, we get to a certain situation where all of a sudden, well, you know, it's cloudy and it's raining today. I don't think I'll go. Folks, let me tell you, ain't none of us going to melt if you get a little bit damp on the way from the parking lot to the church house. It's not going to happen. You might be sugar and spice and everything nice, but God's got a special granular sugar formula for you. You will not melt if you get wet. And here's the thing. We all do this. So there'd been a lot of excuses going on. 17 years... the temple had just sat there with simply a foundation. Now, I want to carry you over to our text. Our text is actually the book of Haggai chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 1. Now, the prophet has gone to them and told them what is taking place. He's kind of given them a little holy scorning, as it were. But I want you to understand. Look with me. Haggai chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, in the seventh month, on the 21st day of the month, the word of the Lord came by Haggai the prophet, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and say to the remnant of the people, saying, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? And how do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? Verse 4, yet now be strong, Zerubbabel, says the Lord, and be strong, Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, the high priest, and be strong, all you people of the land, says the Lord, and work, for I am with you, says the Lord of hosts, according to the word that I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, so my spirit remains among you. Do not fear, for thus says the Lord of hosts, once more in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, says the Lord of hosts. The glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord of hosts. Let's pray together. Father, we pray that your word would truly resonate within our hearts today. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit, as it continues to work in our hearts and lives, that you would speak to us today in a way that only you can. And Lord, as always, we know that you'll speak. We know that you want to speak. But we pray for courage to make action steps in the right direction as the Holy Spirit leads us today. Father, I am simply a messenger, a mere messenger. Today I ask that you would use me for your honor, for your glory, that you would be heard and not mere man. So, Lord, bless these few moments that we will spend together today in your word, as I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when we look at these particular scriptures, you know, like I say, now it's in, I want to kind of give you what this looks like in a modern day translation. Remember when I said before, and most of us can go back and we can remember what things looked like during the days of Solomon's temple. I can only imagine what that must have looked like. That, the word tells us that Solomon's temple was a sight to behold, doesn't it? That Solomon's temple was adorned with the finest of everything. The gold, the silver, all of the things dedicated to the Lord. And in fact, it was one of those things that is still being talked about these thousands of years later, about the glory of Solomon's temple. That is what these people remembered prior to being exiled. That is what these people remembered. They had seen the temple. Now, remember, they had been exiled. They've come back. They need to rebuild the temple. They get started on it. They get the foundation done. People start resisting the building of the temple. They get discouraged. And then once discouraged, guess what they do? Once discouraged, they quit. They quit. How many of us have quit during discouragement? Now, I will tell you something. You know, I don't have to have a show of hands. Everybody in this room at some point has been discouraged from the time of this pandemic to this particular day in which we live. You have been discouraged in all kinds of ways. You have been discouraged in your family. You have been discouraged in your job. You have been discouraged in society. You have been discouraged in your church. You have been discouraged spiritually and personally in some way, shape, form, or fashion. If you agree with that, let me hear you say amen. You know what I'm talking about. And then what we do is we get to the point where we're ready to just throw up our hands and say, I quit. And some of us have. Some of us have quit in here. We might not have quit out here, but we've quit in here. Some of us have quit. And I've always said this. You know, somebody came to me and said, you know what? I quit. And I said, okay, that's good. You're allowed to, as long as you start back tomorrow. Quitting's easy. I've done it 1,000 times. Get it? As long as you start, sometimes you need a redemptive rest. And I get that. God gets that. But that's no excuse to remain seated. Now remember, this is what they were accustomed to. They were accustomed to Solomon's temple. Now when we get over into chapter 2, the prophet has encouraged them. They start to work, and they're getting this temple in order. And that's why I'm just going to say in order. Now there are some people that probably had not seen the temple. And then they're going to go. They're like, oh, we're going to go see the temple today. And so all of a sudden they're excited about it. They remember the days gone by, the good old days. And they go up and they're like, here's the temple. And they're like, wait, what? That's the temple? It doesn't look like Solomon's temple. It doesn't look like it used to look. It doesn't look like it did in the good old days. And you know what the answer to that question is? No, It does not look like it did in the good old days. No, this is not Solomon's adorned temple. But this is what you have. This is where you are. Now that almost sounds discouraging in and of itself, doesn't it? Yeah, I mean, think about the people who remembered the days of Solomon's temple and remembered all of the wonderful things that God had done. Remember how they had gone in, and now they're in this thing that looks like a shanty or a shack that can't even compare to what Solomon's temple was. And they become discouraged about that. Why is it that we allow the good old days to discourage us from the reality of today? Go back to our text, Haggai chapter 2, verse 3. There was a question that was posed to the prophet. Who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory? You know what "in its former glory" means? The good old days. He says, who is left among you who saw this temple in its former glory, and how do you see it now? That's a telling question, isn't it? Let me kind of bring it to us today. He'd be sitting back saying, how many of y'all remember Solomon's temple? Hands go up. And he says, what do you think of the temple today? How would you answer that question if you would have been in their situation? You'd have probably been going, I prefer not to answer. Could you pick someone else? And the reason why is because it couldn't hold a candle to what it was. In its splendor, and its beauty, and in its glory, its former glory. Did you get that? Former glory. And then he goes on in that same verse, and what does he say? And how do you see it now? In other words, make a comparison and tell me what you think. What do you think? How do you see it now? In comparison with it, is this not in your eyes as nothing? He went on and said, let me go ahead and tell you what you're thinking. You're thinking that this is nothing compared to what Solomon's temple was. In fact, not only would you say it's nothing, you are disappointed in the temple. Are you beginning to understand how the focus was off and the focus was wrong? How many times did God say, what is more important, the altar or the sacrifice that is on it? And too many times, we can be focused on the wrong things, can't we? And you know what? We have had in our personal lives some good old days, haven't we? We have had within our church some good old days, haven't we? But they're former days. And that's a good thing. You know why? Because God never intended us to stay in the former days. God never intended us to do this. Are you ready for it? Here's one of your key points, one of your takeaways from today. He never intended for us to continue to look over our shoulder into the past, because the past is gone. We have all had some good old days, which means that the current days aren't like those days used to be. But here's the thing, what are we looking? Are we looking back over our shoulder, or are we looking into the future? Because there was also something else that was very, very interesting that was said. Go down to verse 6. He's got their attention. He's saying, how are you making the comparison here between Solomon's temple and this one? And they're not liking it. In fact, there were tears that were shed, because this is not what it used to be. And I'm sure that some of them were sitting there thinking, God's not going to be impressed with this. But here's what he went on and said. This is what the prophet said to him, verse 6. For thus says the Lord of hosts, once more, in a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and dry land, and I will shake all nations, and they shall come to the desire of all nations. Here you go. You ready for this? Latter part of verse 7. And I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. What is the most important thing about the temple? Are you ready for it? The most important thing is that it be filled with the glory of God. Did you get that? That it be filled with the glory of God. God doesn't care how much gold or silver is in it. He doesn't care what color the carpet is. He doesn't care what the windows look like. What he cares is that he is welcome in the place and that it is full of his glory. And how many times do we get so tripped up over the superficial and completely miss what it is that God wants for us? But here's the great part of it. The greatest part of that verse is this. He said, one of these days, I am going to fill this place with my glory. And folks, I'll tell you this. I would rather be in the presence of the glory of God with no roof over my head than to have the finest roof over my head and God not be anywhere near it. And some of you know and understand that feeling as well. We're too busy at times chasing the good old days. We're too busy looking over our shoulder at the past, and we have to look forward. Glory days were great, weren't they? But they're gone. That doesn't mean they can't come back. But you know what else it means? You see, the other thing about the people were told in these particular passages, and in particularly in chapter 1, is he said, y'all quit being lazy. Quit sitting back dreaming about the past. It is over. I want to do some great things in the future. I have said this before, particularly in regard to our church. I believe our best days are yet ahead of us. I believe that. And some of y'all look around and you say, well, it doesn't look like it in our society today. The best days are yet ahead of us as long as God's people keep the main thing the main thing. And what is the main thing? It's real simple. It's this. And only this. When you start to compromise this, you begin to slip and fall. When all of a sudden what society calls acceptable, that the Bible calls sin, when the church begins to accept it, we're in trouble. We have problems. And to call sin, sin today, you are going to have to take a stand. And when you take a stand, let me tell you what's going to happen. People are going to come after you. And when people come after you, you are going to get discouraged. Are you following the trail? And when you get discouraged, what do we have a tendency to do? We tend to leave the foundation of the temple for 17 years before we come back to it. You got the metaphor? Get up! Get moving! I love this one passage. I hate it and I love it. Let's just put it that way. It's kind of that love-hate relationship. Because if you remember in the book of Job, one of the things that Job said was this. And we know that story. We know how he was wealthy, he had a family, life was good for him, and then all of a sudden, as good as life was, it became bad. And yet out of his mouth, he said these words. He said, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I remember the good old days. I long for the good old days again, but let me tell you what's going to happen. They're not going to happen from back there. They're going to happen from out here, out in front. And it's going to take us being what God needs for us to be to see that happen. Now, I'm not just talking about attendance, and I'm not just talking about people. That's just a measuring stick. Attendance just tells you that you're reaching people. I've often said before, I don't care what number the SBC says we have on a piece of paper about how many people attend here or whatever, but those numbers do represent people and lives. So they're important. But I will also tell you this. The mission is not in here in the octagon. The mission is out there. That's where it is. That's where our future is. And it doesn't look like the past. It's not going to look like Solomon's temple. It is going to look different. And I'm going to go ahead and use this term, even at my age, in some cases, it's even going to look weird. You know what I'm saying? It's going to look different. We have a choice as we prepare to go forward. And one of the choices is, are we going to go forward? Or are we going to sit in the remnants of the past and just remember Solomon's temple and tell stories about it until Jesus comes back? If we choose to do that, I will promise you the Lord will not be there, period. Because he's moved forward. He gave us great days in the past, but he's sitting there going, it's not about your past, it's about your future. Get up. Get moving. Why was it that we had glory days in the past? Because people were excited and people were determined. How excited and determined are we today? Now, I want to tell you this. COVID sucked the life out of most Christian people from what I see. We have gotten, I believe it was my grandma that used to use the term heart dropsy. Y'all ever heard that? You done drop down and don't have the heart to get back up. And COVID gave us permission. Ooh, I use that term loosely. COVID gave us permission to be lazy. COVID gave us permission. Well, you know what, brother? I'd be there, but we're not supposed to. We're not supposed to gather in groups. We're not supposed to do this, and we're not supposed to do that. And we rode that trick pony to the point that some of us are still riding it today. I'm talking about good people, hard working people in the church that have sat down and never got back up. You know why? Because they're too busy looking at Solomon's temple. You're too busy hanging out in Solomon's parlor. Well, let me tell you something. Solomon's temple is gone. The glory days are behind us. The future is what's ahead of us. Now, I used to enjoy sitting around the family reunion listening to the war stories. Remember those? Everybody probably has them. We used to keep the milk over here in the spring so it would stay cold. And we used to have to get out here and dig potatoes, and that was the granary. And listen, if you didn't farm during the summer, you didn't eat in the wintertime. And all God's people who remember that said, you know what I'm talking about. You didn't just go buy it at the grocery store. It wasn't available. And you know what? Those are great things. Man, they're great times to remember the hard work and all those things now. And I said, but isn't it nice that now you have a refrigerator? Isn't it nice that you can put stuff in there and store it and keep it? Isn't it nice that you don't have to go out and milk the cow every day? You can go purchase the milk. How many of y'all would look forward to getting up 5 o'clock every morning to go milk a cow so you have milk on the table? Particularly when you had them babies that needed that milk. How many of y'all would look forward to that today? And if you raise your hand, you need to repent. You might like it for about 2 days, and then you're like, boy, the Lowe's and the food line's looking good as you walk past the shelves of milk. We don't live in the past anymore. Nobody's driving Model A's anymore. Nobody's driving Model Ts anymore. Listen, when you go to the car, you don't go to the car dealership and say, can you find me the oldest, most uncomfortable vehicle out there with no air conditioning, no power steering, no cruise control? Man, I remember when I was growing up and I was first driving, air conditioning was an accessory. It was an add-on. Y'all remember those days? You just sweat driving down the road. And now, you used to do it every single day. And now you'd get in there and go, I ain't riding in that car. It doesn't have air. Cruise control. How many of y'all remember the advent of cruise control? I'm a cruise control fan, not because I'm lazy, but because I have a heavy foot. While I'm paying attention, I can set it, and then I'm better that way. Listen, folks, you don't go out and look for the oldest thing. You don't go back and go, oh, those were the glory days. Give me back that 1970s or 80s model Pacer. Remember that? That was the ugliest car I think ever on the road. Looked like a bubble coming down the road. Just a glass. How many of y'all remember those? How many of you owned one? Yeah, I thought I'd catch you on that one. You don't go looking for that, do you? You go looking for the best. You're sitting there going, how much can I get? How much can I afford? Because I want the best. Why is the same not true in your spiritual walk, in your church, in your families? Quit settling for the past. Sometimes we have to be shook. There's some people that I know that I'll sit around and they are in their 50s and they still talk about their high school football days, the glory days. That's okay. But when you're obsessed with it, it becomes a problem. I had some good days. I can remember some good old days of athletics and everything else. But you know what? The Bible also says when I was a child, I had childish thoughts. I did childish things. But when I became a man, I had to put those things away. You can't stay on the high school football field for the rest of your life. You have to move forward. And some of us are stuck in the glory days of Solomon. And folks, the sad news is those days are gone. God says, your best day. Here's the good part. I'm not going to leave you on that. Here's the good part. Your best days are in front of you. But you will never get to your best days of glory if you stay in the past. Think about it. As long as you sit back and say, well, it used to be this way, and I used to be able to do this, and I used to be able to do that. The church used to be this way, and the church... Listen, those days are gone. The sooner we realize that, those are past glories. We need some future glory. Go back with me to verse 6. Once more. Did you get that? It happened in once more, it's a little while, I will shake heaven and earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all the nations, and they will come to the desire of all nations, and I will fill this temple with glory, says the Lord of hosts. And then go down to verse 9. And he says, when I do this, verse 9, the glory of this latter temple shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, says the Lord. Did you get that? As glorious as you think the days of the past will be, God tells us that if we remain faithful and if we work and if we're dedicated and we go forward, he says, once again, I'm going to show up and I am going to do something great and I'm going to fill this place. And what does he say? Get that verse again in verse 9. He says, the glory of this latter temple. In other words, the one they didn't even want to see, the one that made them cry when they look at, the one they were comparing to Solomon's temple. He says, the glory of that place, this latter place, shall be greater than the former. He said, greater than Solomon's temple. It'll be even greater, better than the best you've ever known. And some of us right now just said, I don't see how that could happen. Well, God's word says that not only can it, he says, I will. If you stay in there, you work, and you see things happen. But folks, it takes each and every one of us to set back. It takes each and every one of us to not get caught up. There is something incredible about not getting stuck in the past. The Lord never wanted us ever to be stuck in the past. I mean, if you think about that, he was always saying, we need to move forward, not backwards. Yeah. It doesn't look like the days of old. It doesn't look like the days of Solomon Temple. But he said this. He says, keep working. Keep working. And the message for us today is keep working. Why? Because the best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. The question is, do we believe that? It's not about what it was. Today, the church is not about what it was back in the glory days. It's about what will it be as we go forward. What's it going to be? And what part do you and I play in it? I know that for some of us, we get to that point where we walk in and we sit back and say, I remember the days when we had to put chairs out. I remember the days when there were wall-to-wall people. I remember the days of multiple services, and we're stuck in the good old days. Well, folks, they're gone. They're not here. But there are even better days in front of us. In front of us, not behind us, in front of us. We can do one of two things. We can continue to mourn the loss of the good old days and sit back and do absolutely nothing. Or we can sit back and say, it is what it is. They were good days. They were fond memories. But they're not here anymore. I don't know about you. I want to make some more good old days. And it starts right here. It starts right here. What part? Oh, and you are not here by accident. You are a gear in this machine that the Lord is making. I'm going to say this, Brad, come on up. Because if Brad's behind me, maybe he'll throw something at me when I get on my soapbox. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to say this as we wrap the service down. Walking with God is not a spectator event. It is not. It is designed for us to participate together. It is designed. We need each other. We need to come together. I am so tired of hearing that, well, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I know that. But I'll tell you one thing, yeah, that's not, church is not something that you watch on TV. It's something you do together with people. Remember how we took the excuses that Satan handed us and made it okay? We're still stuck using the excuses from COVID, just like everything else, the U.S. mail places. Well, it's COVID. Shipping slow, COVID. We're past that. Quit blaming it on COVID. Lack of personnel. I am not going to get political, but when you pay people more to stay home than you do to work, you've killed the incentive of the working American, and yeah, you're not going to have workers. I'll digress. But God's got something for each and every one of us to do to be a part of seeing His greatness again. And I will promise you that it will not happen unless we do it. It is time. You see, the other part of that, there was three messages that Haggai preached in there, and one of them is that you guys need to repent, was what he was telling them. And God's not going to fill the place until we understand and have a love, and we're not worried about all the peripherals, but yet we focus on God. Then God will show up. Then God will do something incredibly amazing again. Then we will sit back and go, wow, and then we will see glory days again. But it's going to take us putting forth the effort. See, Haggai basically told the people, y'all been lazy. 17 years of foundation set there. Because you were too busy working on your own house instead of the Lord's house. Not only did you build your own houses, you built luxury houses while the Lord's house set in decline. While the Lord's house set with nothing going on. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just function. I want to thrive. I don't want us just to simply meet here. I want us to change the world. And we can do that. There have been many lives changed because God's people didn't worry about the peripherals. They loved each other. They loved people around them. They reached out to them. And that is what created the glory days of the days of old. That's what did it. And people sit back and go, well, was this service type and that? No, it wasn't that service type. It was God showed up. That's what it was. I don't care if you have bagpipe music at the start of it. If God ain't there, nothing's going to happen. But if He is there, something's going to happen. I can worship to bagpipe music. People say, well, how can you say that? Every bagpiper I know plays Amazing Grace, isn't it? Get some of you boys out here and we'll play it and enjoy it and we'll sing and we'll worship. But it's got to be about the worship. So where do you stand with God today? That's a big question. First of all, are you His child? Has there been the time in your life when you have repented, when you've said, Lord, I know I'm a sinner and I need a Savior. Lord, forgive my sins and save my soul. I've said this 1,000 times and I'll say it 1,000 more as long as God gives me breath. I believe hell's going to be full of church people who thought that it was something you do instead of somebody you know. I want you to know Jesus. It's kind of bittersweet. I've said in the last couple years, I've lost so many people that I know and love. I've lost them, but heaven gained them. I think about those people a lot. I pray for them a lot. Even here with JC. Well, what a saint. Whew. Wow. Was he perfect? No. But neither are we. There's been a lot of loss. We sit back and quit or we go forward. But thanks be to God. I know he was a brother. I know where he is. And I know for a fact that JC, if I said, brother, why don't you come on back? He'd be like, no. Not going to happen. You just come on over here. Have you trusted Jesus? If not, I'm going to simply ask you where you sit, stand, drive, whatever it is, right now, just to bow your head and say, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Forgive me and save me. And I will promise you that if you meant that with all of your heart, that He is recording your name in the Lamb's Book of Life right now. That's just the beginning, though. It's not checking the box. No, no, I'll check the box. I'm going to heaven. Uh-uh. That's not the way it works. Now you need to live like one of His children. How do you do that? That's in the Bible. The Bible tells you that. How do you learn that? You come to be a part of the family. How many of y'all liked and remembered the days of the family reunion? Well, Lord of mercy, you have one every Sunday right here. You don't have to like me. You have to love me because I'm family. Families have their issues, but we love each other. We're there for each other. We need to be. Don't you want to be a part of the family? We got plenty of room. There's a bed for you. There's a place at the table that's got your name on it that our Father has put just for you. Would you join us? Maybe you're here today and you have had heart dropsy. We've all been there. I've been tired in the ministry, never tired of it, but been tired in it. Where you just like, I just want to catch my breath for a minute. Lord, I'm quitting. He's like, fine. By the way, here's your schedule for tomorrow. I've quit for the day. But when our attitude is not right, it's hard to deal with, isn't it? Some of y'all had kids before that had a bad attitude, didn't you? They needed an attitude adjustment. Back in my day, the attitude adjustment came right on top of the head. For some of you all, it did too. What has the Lord spoken to your heart about today? He's saying, do you want to be a part of something big I want to do, not behind you, in front of you? I'm like, sign me up. Oh, it's going to be some chance taking. If we want to talk about the good old days, me and David can talk to you about times when we're like, oh, we don't have no idea what we're going to do now. We watched God do the impossible. You know why? Because God is the one who did the impossible, not us. But we were willing. But we had to have the faith to say, Lord, you got a problem. We don't. Your problem, not mine. You know what God said? You're right. Guess what? Not only do I have a problem, I have a solution to that problem. Watch my smoke. And we just stood there going, go God! He's done incredible things and he still wants to do them. But he's only going to do them for those who are willing to be a part of his plan to step forward. Is that you? What is it that he is telling you as we speak? I don't want to hear you tell me that you are retired spiritually, because there is no such thing. If you still have life and you still have breath, God has something for you to do. You better get about it, because you might tell God no one time too many and he says, okay, well then there's no sense in you staying on here. I'll just call you on home. There are some people that I know, I believe with all my heart, that if they stopped doing what they were doing, they would die. Some people that I know that are retired, they're up there in years. If they no longer have purpose for the Lord, they're going home. I promise you that, within days. They put one foot in front of the other every day solely for the Lord. And the Lord says, as long as you keep doing that, I'm giving you days. Look at JC. 90 years old. Every day of that man's life, he tried to be a blessing to somebody. And he succeeded. Somewhere along the way. Now, he's celebrating. I want to see God do something here one more time. That only he can do, that can only be attributed to his hand. How about you? If there are decisions that you need to make for the Master, if you trusted Jesus by asking him into your heart, I'm just going to ask you, please let me know. We want to help get you started on that walk. We want to welcome you to the family. Yeah. Hey, we're here to celebrate. Celebration's a good thing. Maybe you're here today and you said, man, my life has just been, I've just been sitting around. Well, get up. Now's your time. Today was your wake-up call. Maybe there's some things that you need to give back to the Lord at the altar. Get that excitement again. Get the thrill back. Get the desire back. Get the want to back. And you know what's going to happen? When you do, God's going to show up. And when he shows up, let me tell you what's going to happen. He's going to do something so incredible, you can't wait to get out there again. That sounds great, don't it? But I'm also going to tell you that as you do, resistance is going to happen. There are going to be those that will come up against you. There will be circumstances and situations, and you'll be going, I'm trying to do this, Lord, and all of a sudden all this, that, and the other thing happened. Yep, it's going to. But are you going to let the foundation of the temple lay for 17 years before you take another step? Maybe it's time to start building back again. What do you need to do? If you need me, I'm here. If you need this altar, it's here. As Brad comes to lead us in our invitation hymn, it's number 281 in your hymnal. Speak to my heart. Would you stand with me as we sing that invitation hymn and you do business with God? Heads are bowed, as your eyes are closed, as you do business with God, do not let the moment of the conviction of the Holy Spirit leave you. It may not mean coming and talking to me, whatever it is, I pray right now that you will do business with God, that you will settle it before you leave this room, that you will leave this place different than when you came in. Will you do that? Will you give it over to Him? As our invitation continues, I'm going to ask our ushers if they would make their way down as we prepare to receive the Lord's tithe and our offering to Him. And I'd also like to ask that our serving deacons come and be seated on the front row at this time as well. Father, we are truly grateful indeed for all of the provision that you have placed and given in our lives. Everything comes from you. Father, right now I pray that as we continue to worship you by returning that which you have so richly and greatly blessed us with, that we might be found faithful in doing so, that you might bless us, Lord, that you might bless your house, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. tells us that each and every one of us should examine our hearts as we come around the Lord's table, that we might not eat or drink in an unworthy manner. So basically today, I ask each and every one of us that we search our hearts for just this moment before we enter into the time of the Lord's Supper, that we see that our heart is prepared to do so, that we make sure that there's nothing that is in the way of unconfessed sin or anything that would hinder us today. Yeah, because as we come to the Lord's table, we are remembering what He did for us on Calvary's cross. We're remembering His death until He comes. Would we go to this time in silent prayer and you do business with God? Let's pray together. Father, today it is a joy to be able to come around your table. It's a joy to be able to gather as the family of God. And Lord, as we do so and we think about the scriptures that talk about this supper and what it represents, Lord, I pray that each and every one of us will listen to the Spirit's leading in our own lives, that we might truly partake in a worthy manner. Not that we're worthy, but Father, you made us worthy with the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But Lord, may we partake in a worthy manner today, that we remember what Calvary's cross brought about for each and every one of us. So Lord, touch our hearts, touch our souls, and Lord, speak to us now in Jesus' name. Brother Bill, would you ask the blessing upon the bread?
Father, we thank you for this opportunity just to be reminded that as we take part of the partake of the bread, that you are the bread of life. You give us sustenance, you give us everything. Pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
word tells us that on the night that Jesus was betrayed, as they gathered in that upper room, it says that he blessed the bread and he broke it and he distributed it to his disciples. And he said, "This is my body, which is broken and given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Amen. Brother Mark, would you ask the blessing upon the cup?
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for this time that we can remember the great sacrifice you gave us on Calvary's cross, that we might have the opportunity to know you as Savior. We pray that you bless the cup as we think about your blood that was shed for us. We ask it in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. Also, when he supped, he took the cup and he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." Yeah, I love that part. See, even though his disciples didn't get it at that time, we've known throughout history, history told us without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And Jesus was explaining to them that he was the once for one and all perfect sacrifice. That's where the new covenant would come in. No more animal sacrifices. He would be the perfect sacrifice. So he said to his disciples, "This is the new covenant in my blood. Drink ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. The word says, for as oft as we eat of this bread and drink of the cup, we do show his death until he comes. Let me do something. I'm good at changing things. Donna and Vicky, blessed be the tie. You know where that is? Now, if do you want to play? If you don't, we'll let her play with. But if you want to, we're going to close the way I closed out growing up as a child. How many of y'all, after you had communion, would sing at one verse, blessed be the tie? Well, we're going to do that again in just a minute. So I'm going to buy time for them to find it and the numbers and get there. And I'm going to give you a couple quick announcements. And I also want to remind you of a couple things. At the door, we're going to take up an offering. See, I didn't forget it this time. Each time we have communion, we will usually take an offering at the door that goes to support benevolent needs that will arise in the church. So if we have a couple guys that could cover, you know, two of the doors, if you're trying to duck them, we'll know if you go out this door or the back door, you're trying to duck the offering. We'll have guys at these two doors right here. If a couple of ushers, if you'll go ahead and take care of that, Randy, y'all go ahead and get in place right now if you want to for that. I also want to give you a reminder that next Sunday, right, Marcia, is our annual church business meeting. At that business meeting last week, you were notified, so this is week one. We're heading into week two of notification that we will be voting on calling Brad McClure as our part-time minister of music. And I know y'all are sitting there going, well, I thought he already was. No, he's still interim. So we're looking forward to making him a part of our family, he and Lachelle. So that will take place at that's our annual business meeting that is required by Articles of Incorporation, but we will handle that business at that. That will be next Sunday, immediately after our worship service, okay? So those are the things that I think I needed to tell you. I want to tell you a few of these things just to let you know. The baby bottle campaign, we got a thank you card from the Pregnancy Network. The baby bottles produced $537.40, plus a little bit more. I had a few straggler bottles come in that I took down there, so I don't know what that total added with this is, but that was before those other bottles. But it said that's enough to fund a session of 8-week pregnancy and parenting 101 classes. In addition, it also is enough to give 23 women Jesus storybook Bibles to read to their children, as well as some of the other things. So thank you all for that campaign. We do that pretty much each year between Mother's Day and Father's Day, and it really, really does make a difference. As a reminder, once again, visitation for J.C. Williams will be at Hayworth Miller this coming Tuesday from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. The funeral will be Wednesday, this coming Wednesday, here at Central Baptist Church, 2 o'clock p.m. If you want to sing with the choir, you come on up and do that. I know JC would love to see all those faces in the choir singing one of his favorite hymns. You can come. Let's see. Make sure choir practice 4:45 this evening. Bible study here 6 o'clock p.m. Band rehearsal at 7 p.m. Still on. That's good. Awana will restart on September 17th. Did I say that right? September 17th. We do need some volunteers to listen to kids recite scripture. You can contact Jana. Jana, that's Jana over there, or Jimmy. Jimmy is right here. You can contact them. We'll get you signed up to help out. It is extremely rewarding. Also on Wednesdays, don't forget, men's group meets over at the Olympic in Colfax at 10 o'clock a.m. for food and fellowship. That's the agenda, isn't it, Mark? Come eat and have a good time. Mark's one of the leaders there. He leads everybody on how to eat, right? That's it. That's my brother. Also, just as a reminder, August is Camp Carefree Donation Month. So if you would like to give a donation to Camp Carefree, that was a ministry that was supported this past July. We went out there and cooked for them. Some of y'all may not know how many of y'all do not know what Camp Carefree is? Good, then I don't have to explain it. You know what the type of kids that they serve and what a tremendous opportunity that is. So if you would like to donate to that, you can drop that. Put it in an envelope and mark it Carefree as you put it in the offering plate, and we'll make sure it gets where it's going. I mentioned the corporate meeting, building and grounds meeting is going to be next Sunday, 3:30, and the Family Life Center choir room, which is next door. The 27th of this month, mark your calendar, be sure to be with us. The 27th of this month is going to be Amy Kreider's baptism. You want to make sure you're here for that. We want to celebrate with her and looking forward to that. It'll be on the 27th, the last Sunday of this month. And then also Ladies Beach Trips coming up October the 5th through the 8th. How do we stand? One place left. So if you want that place, you better hurdle a pew and get to Marcia before she gets out of here and let her know. But I know they'll have a great time. That is going to be October the 5th through the 8th. And we want to say happy birthdays this week. This coming Thursday, Joanne Willard will be celebrating a birthday. So if you want to give her a call, send her a card, that'd be great. This coming Saturday, Jenny Chilton. We'll be celebrating her birthday as well. And then on Friday is the anniversary of Cherie and Paul Johansson. They continue to put up with one another for yet another year. Be sure to wish them a great, wonderful, and happy anniversary. I also want to mention, like I say, the reason the guys are there at the door, it's not because they counted the offering and want to shake you down for more. This 100% goes into the Benevolence Fund to be used for benevolent needs as the benevolence team in our church are so led to do that. I also believe that we'll have a trash can back there at the back door. So if you have your little cups, if you can carry them on your way out and just drop them in the plastic can, that will help our ladies. And I just want to say this real quick. Please give a hand to our ladies who so diligently work to make sure our communion experience is good. Let's show our appreciation to you. I always call them Phyllis and the girls. You guys mean so much to us. There's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that most people never think about. That stuff just doesn't jump into trays and get set up, and we really do appreciate you because you guys do that with a heart of service, and I appreciate that more than you will ever know. David is going to let us know anything that we need to know, and then I'm just going to, will you lead us in that? Since we've done this 1,000 times. I won't pull Brad away from Lachelle. I trust you, brother, unless y'all want to come up and do it together, but like I say, this is going to be how we're going to close. How many closed this way growing up? This is how you closed out communion. My people. So why don't you go on and stand to your feet? Brother David is going to lead us in one verse of Blessed Be the Tithe. This will be your dismissal.